Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good friend Joan Pride is back with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's our good friend. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Joan, when I made my predictions for 2009, I identified several things on President Obama's agenda that I knew he would like to push through. He said he wanted to push through, and he has said he's wanted to push through.
Mm-hmm.
But I identified all of them but one as things that would not happen this year, even though he might talk about them, even though they might be proposed.
Right.
But they probably wouldn't actually make the cut this year,
yeah,
save one. And that one that I said would, something would happen this year,
yeah,
because I said he sees it as part of the economic recovery,
yeah,
and that is the health care agenda.
Okay.
The cap and trade wouldn't make it. The card check wouldn't make it. Forgotten what else I mentioned, but the health care, I said that won't be held back. That will actually be pursued to the full degree. And you guys are reporting that that's actually what's happening, isn't it?
Right. And we're a little bit off the letter at the moment, but I've in reading some things about the Obama administration as it formed. You know, they had a lot of sessions where they discussed what the agenda would be. You know, this is him and his top,
mm-hmm,
aides. And,
mm-hmm,
the top aides pretty much wanted to push off health care because it's such a big subject.
Yep.
But,
yep,
he was the one who said, no, that's at the top. That has to,
mm-hmm,
be done this year. So he kind of overrode his best advisor,
mm-hmm,
on whether to go now or go later.
So what you're saying is that my prediction was correct. That's basically what you just said, right?
Well,
right,
I was trying to avoid having to put it that way.
I know you don't like the, I know you don't like the thought that might actually be the case, but that that is, you've lurched uncontrollably to basically validating my prediction. And of course, as Kiplinger always does, it doesn't lurch uncontrollably. It lurches is very controlled, in a very controlled way, to the truth. And that's what you guys point out this week, and that is that this will be the year for health care reform.
Well, we say, I mean, we fudge a little bit. We say momentum is definitely building. We say the odds of success are better than even, but we warn that big issues are still unresolved.
Let's talk about some of the big issues. What are some of the key points? Let's talk about some of the key points that they're proposing.
Before we get to the unresolved issues, you mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, one of the key points is that there will be no single-payer government plan, which I think wasn't that kind of a centerpiece of the Clinton plan?
That's what people typically think of as a full, unmitigated thermonuclear takeover.
Yeah,
of,
I mean, it's like taking Medicare and grafting it onto the rest of the country.
That is universal health care without any... That's European health care, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like the British system or the Canadian,
exactly,
system. Exactly. Yeah.
When you think of single payer, that means basically that's another way of saying universal, government paid, we're wards of the state, that kind of thing.
Right.
You're saying that there won't be... That right now, at least, they're not going in that direction.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, there's another consent. Well, I guess the idea would be to build on the current system. So you would still have coverage through employers, and you would still have the Medicaid system for those, you know, for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Children's Health Insurance Program that we...
Which recently got beefed up.
And extended, yes.
Yes, and extended to a lot more people.
Yes.
A lot higher income people.
I think so. I don't know the details,
yes,
but yeah.
It did. It went up. So I think the number in some states could be you could make as much as the family could make as much as $84,000 a year and still qualify for CHIPS.
Wow.
Yeah, in some states.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Another something that we don't give details on this. We say federal incentives for smaller companies, and I think the interesting thing there will be to find out what the government is going to mean by smaller.
I think this is in response, Joan, to my argument, which I will, which I have and will continue to make, that you can't mandate that a small business cover, that every small business provide insurance for their employees, because literally some small businesses can't, don't have, they just don't have the capital, they don't have the cash flow, they don't have the, they don't have the profitability yet. They're still, they're still struggling. And you know, when you got a, when you got a small business that's trying to dig his business out of the dirt for his or her own long-term benefit, at this moment they may not be paying themselves anything or little of nothing. They may not have insurance themselves.
Right.
It's not like they're being mean to their employees. They may not have it themselves.
Exactly.
And so you can't mandate, that's my point, and that's what I'm going to be arguing about. You can't mandate to a small business that they have to provide insurance for their employees.
Right, right. Okay.
So that's what hopefully, I say hopefully, what I think will is happen is going to happen. They're going to try to neutralize me you know, arguing against that. People like me arguing against that, because so they're going to say, okay, we're going to give small business owners some tax advantages or some tax credits, or they're going to do something for them. And I don't know what that is. I may like it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Now, this is another interesting one, and I believe this is something that's been tried in some of the states, I think most notably Massachusetts, something that we're calling an individual mandate. And by that, we mean if you're not covered at work, you have to buy into a plan or just to get everyone or as many people as possible covered.
That's right. What Mitt Romney found, I heard him speak about this one time before he even ran for president. What they found in Massachusetts was that you got all these uninsured young people who, even if they, you know, they were offered insurance, but they turned it down, especially if it was ever going to cost them anything or if they could get a raise instead of the insurance, because they knew that they were healthy or they felt
they
were healthy.
They knew they were going to live forever, right?
Live forever, exactly.
Right.
But these people, when they do get sick, when they do get hurt, they became a burden on everybody else by going
to
the...
They cost the system more because they have no insurance. They end up in the emergency room
exactly.
And on public assistance, really.
And that's what's happening nationwide, Joan.
Right.
These 47 million people that they keep, we've been talking about for 20 years, I guess it's the same group. That's what they're doing, and so it sounds like when the way you describe it here, Joan, Kiplinger describes it, sounds exactly like the way what the Massachusetts folks discovered, and that is that there was this burden on everybody else, and so therefore they made in Massachusetts they made everybody buy their own coverage, and if they couldn't afford it, the government helped them with it. 20 after the hour. We're going to be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back.
Smiling from my head to her feet. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's the need of a kiss.
We're back. It's 7:23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the man who can't tell time, and that's a little Foreigner bringing us back. It's kind of urgent around here, too, isn't it, Joan?
Yeah.
Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan is with us on a regular basis to talk to us about what's going on in the world and according to Kiplinger. By the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out and when you get a chance, use it to your advantage. We built it for you. The blog is there. You can link to the blog. You can link to my knowledge base at askjim.biz. You can check out and look at my newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email. It's free. Get you ready for the week ahead, and you can see a sample there. You can, you got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes. We got something that will help you. Anything under the small business sun, whatever you need, we got something there, or somebody who will help you. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget, by the way, I'm on Twitter if you want to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Jim Blassingame. Joan, are you on Twitter yet? Are you a twit yet?
What's that?
I guess that's our answer, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I barely know what Facebook is.
We're gonna get to, good for you! I'm so glad you're really, you're like really swell,
hey,
aren't you, Joan?
I'm charging into the 20th century here.
Yeah, Joan, you don't have to come into this century. Just come into the last century.
Yeah.
Hey, Joan, back to the letter. We're talking folks about some of the healthcare proposals. Folks, you need to pay attention to this. This is happening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you,
yeah.
I don't think we can stop this, ladies and gentlemen. I think our best, if you're like me, if you're worried about where health care is going to go in this country under the current government, if you're concerned about it, which I very much am, then I don't think we can stop it. But I do think, Joan, and this is my opinion, I do think that we can contribute to the debate. I do think that we have enough, those of us who would like there to be more of a market-based system, more of a portable system, and less government involvement, those of us who like that kind of thing, and Kiplinger takes no position on this, at least that I can tell, but this is me, those of us who are like that, we're not going to stop this train, but I do think we can influence the way the tracks are laid. And Joan, inside of what I'm talking about, this is why what you guys are reporting this week is so important, because the smart thing that Obama has done, the President Obama has done, is they look back and they saw, because he's got people working for him who were part of the Hillary meltdown, the Hillary debacle. They were there.
And they know where the minefields are. They know,
exactly.
You know, they know the mistakes that were made, sure.
And so now they're saying, okay, we don't want to come up with a branded, you know, Hillary care kind of thing where we're just taking over everything. Let's do this one little cut at a time. Let's make it a multifaceted, multi-targeted kind of a scenario, and let's do this by degree. Let's take it over. Because, see, I believe ultimately, Joan, ultimately the goal of President Obama and a lot of people in the Congress, the ultimate goal is universal health care, single-payer, European-style health care. I believe that's their ultimate.
So you think he does really want that?
Absolutely. There's no question. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay.
Absolutely. As much as I believe anything on planet Earth, mm-hmm. I think that's what their goal is. But they're smart. They figured out that, you know, they can't shove this down our throats the way Hillary and Bill tried to do 20 years ago,
right?
And so they've taken it piecemeal, and so as you'll see, as we're going to talk, Joan, as we move down through here, let's go down through, and you'll start to see what's happening. One of the things, this individual thing, as you know, Joan, is they're going to offer you government provided individual health care, right?
Yes, that's right.
Which will be competing with the public, with the private sector.
Yeah, we even
policies.
Say the idea is to foster competition, preventing private firm premiums from rising too much.
But Joan, and you know what, Joan, on paper, in theory, that sounds like a good idea. Mm-hmm. I really don't trust it. I personally don't think that's what's going to happen. The government has they own the mint. They can charge whatever they can charge whatever they want. But the private companies can't do that. They've got real costs involved, and so, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, Joan, I hope, I pray, I really do, and I mean this. Mm-hmm. I pray that in 3 years I'll come on this show and say, you know what, I was wrong, guys. This is a better deal. Yeah. I hope I can say that. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
But anyway, so we've got this. The government is going to compete with the private sector for health care, but everybody is going to have some coverage, right? That's what the goal is.
Exactly, yes.
All right. So then the technology. Now, this is a big deal for Mr. Obama. He thinks that we can save a fortune. He thinks we can almost rejigger the whole system on the back of simplifying and efficiencies, doesn't he?
Right. And I have no idea if he's correct or not. I will say the healthcare system in many areas seems incredibly inefficient. I know that they're trying to turn a lot of paper hospital records over to electronic, but it's taken a much longer time, I think, in the healthcare field than in a lot of other industries.
Well,
and it's
I know some people.
Amazing to me.
I know some people in that industry, and the nurses apparently, we're talking electronic charting primarily.
Right, exactly.
The nurses are taking to it pretty well. The doctors are the ones who are fighting it.
Gee, there's a surprise.
But they have been, at least. I don't know if they kind of still are or not. But no, electronic charting is a lot more efficient. You can transfer the information. I don't know what the negatives are. I'm sure there are some that are valid, but electronic charting. But I'm concerned that Mr. Obama is putting too much pressure on the efficiency thing, and that ROI may not be what he thinks it's going to be. We'll find out, though. 29 after, right back with Joan Pryde. Stay with us.
amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Little ZZ Top bringing us back there. Joan Pride's favorite band, right, Joan?
That was so unnecessary, really.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kipling Editors, big fan, big ZZ Top fan. Welcome back, folks. It's good to have you here. We're wrapping up the healthcare thing, Joan. You guys, Kiplinger did an outstanding job in the letter this week of detailing the key. I mean, you guys just really got right to the nut of the matter the main issues of this whole thing.
Thank you. I worked very hard on this.
I know you did. Joan, the thing that concerns me is they're going to combine. The government is going to combine. As you said earlier, they're going to accelerate Medicaid. They're going to continue to leverage the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIPS program. They've already raised the minimums on that to $84,000 in some states. Most states around $70,000-something in income to qualify for that. They're going to offer this government alternative to private insurance. So, Joan, that means that individuals, more people in America, will have access to a government type of program than won't,
right?
And more than ever before. And see, then all they've got to do, Joan, this is the trap. Then all they've got to do is expand CHIPS a little bit more, and go down on the price of the health insurance to the point where it runs the private companies out of business, and you and I have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
But then they do away with the tax benefits for employers. I mean, this is not a conspiracy I'm talking about, folks.
You sound like a conspiracy.
This is a real strategy,
I'd
and
like
I'm telling
to hear
you.
Your theories on JFK.
Only the naive would think that this is something that couldn't happen. But I mean, they're smart. These are not dummies. They know how to make this happen. And so all I'm getting at, folks, if you're like me, you like the single payer. Private insurance, portability, the deductibility, you like the human health savings accounts, you want to be able to buy health care across state lines. If you're like me and you like that kind of thing, then what we've got to do is we've got to get involved and make it part and be part of the debate. And you can do that through your own groups, like your chambers of commerce, like your industry trade groups, whatever it might be. Okay, John, I'm off my soapbox now.
Thank you
for letting me do that. Let's move on and talk about what's going on. And by the way, thanks again for this outstanding page here
on what's going on. Have a terrific healthcare editor who did put this together, and I'll let her know.
What is her name?
Her name is Martha Craver, and she's terrific.
You tell her so she can tell her mother that we bragged on her on the radio. And,
I will.
And worldwide on the internet, too, by the way. Okay, lending regs, Joan, there's some new stuff going on with regard to tightening up on mortgages. What's going on with that?
Well, in terms of lending regulations, Congress is going to be stepping in, and it's going to make plain vanilla 30-year fixed-rate loans the norm.
Which means?
Well, that you're going to get rid of a lot of subprime loans and exotic loans that from now on you wouldn't.
Not a moment too soon, right, Joan?
Oh, gosh, yes.
So we're going to clean all that up, which they should have already done. Should never have allowed this to happen. Joan, here's the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Congress is the group that allowed those to happen to start with.
That's true.
They're the ones who made it available to start with.
Right.
So they're not getting any kudos from me on this one. But Joan, this is also happening. Tightening up of the mortgages, which needs to happen, is also happening, as we've learned this week. They're also tightening up on foreclosures. And this is off the letter, but this was in the news this week. I just felt I need to stick that in there. Right now, There's been a little bit of a moratorium, a few months moratorium on mortgages to let the government programs settle, the dust settle on those. But now I understand that they're going back and they're
moving forward. Foreclosures are ramping up again.
Moving forward, ramping up on those quite a bit. So that's a couple of tough pieces of news for the housing industry.
Sure.
Eliminating some of the options for new mortgages and tightening up on some of the foreclosures. So, folks, take that information and use it as you see fit. Joan, talk to us about startups. This is small business, the small business section. I've been saying for a long time that we need to have some kind of an alternative to just borrowing money from a bank for small businesses to get going. And angel investors is the way to do that. When we come back, we're going to talk about that some more with Joan Pride. We've got a lot more to come after these messages. We're also going to talk about patent law. We're also going to talk about Ms. President Obama's trip to Europe. Lots of stuff like that. 20 till. Stay with us.
As I was walking down the street one day,
we're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, little Chicago brain is back. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and that's Kiplinger, KIPLINGER.com. I encourage you to check out their website. It's a good one. It's an important one. And, of course, they got these outstanding publications. The one Joan and I work off of, Kiplinger Letter, the Kiplinger Letter, which has been out since 1923, hasn't changed much except just to get better since that time. And then that's weekly. Then the biweeklies, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the Biofuels Letter. And then they've got that magazine thing, John.
Yes. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And it's available on newsstands and at that website I gave you a minute ago, Kiplinger.com. And also that phone number, Joan, what should you give us that, please?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Joan, I wanted to bring some back on the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can follow me on Twitter. I mentioned that earlier, right? You made a little disparaging.
Yeah, you keep talking about this.
You made
Twitter
a little disparaging comment.
What you're talking about,
you tried to act like it was. You tried to make it self-effacing, but really it was a shot at me. I know what it was, and so folks, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JimBlassingame. But Joan, I'm bringing that up again to point out, this is something I bet nobody else has thought about, and you can pass this along to Mr. Kiplinger and to Knight and the others. The original Twitter was Kiplinger's letter.
Really?
Yes. You know why?
Wow.
You know what? The one fundamental thing that we all know about Twitter, it's a microblog. It's microblogging. You know what the number one thing is that anybody who knows anything about Twitter knows?
No.
You have to say whatever you're going to say in 140 characters.
That's right.
Including spaces and punctuation.
Yeah.
You have to do it in 140 characters. Now, yep. Joan, what is that if not a snippet?
Wow. Yeah. No question
about it. And didn't the original Mr. Kiplinger, didn't he call them snippets?
Yeah, you're right.
And, folks, if you look at the Kiplinger letter and you just sort of unfocused your eyes, you would see a couple hundred little Twitter posts.
That's right.
Am I right?
I think you're right.
Huh? So you guys were only about 80.
Can I thinking up this stuff?
You were only about. I don't have a life, Joan. I have that kind of mind.
Yeah,
so
we knew that. Wow.
If you, Joan. I mean, think about it. It's just so you can pass that along to them that they were like 84 years ahead of their time.
Wow.
So anyway, all right. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Small business and angels, Joan. Angel investors have been around for a long time.
Yes.
But they're getting more organized these days, aren't they?
Which is a really good thing for small businesses, because I can remember I used to cover small businesses for Kiplinger Letter, and that was the one problem. You know, I would always say, you know, you need to find an angel investor, because, you know, wealthy individuals who want to invest directly into a small business. But the question was, how do you find one? It's always been very hard. What we're saying here is you probably, because the economy has hit everyone, that even angel investors are probably giving less than they used to. So you might need to sign up with more than one to get the money that you need.
I know some people who've actually had done exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
They had angel investors lined up, and before And like I know one particular case that was supposed to, they got a commitment on funding from these angel investors, or one angel investor in particular, like in July.
Right.
And by September of last year, the angel had to diminish their commitment. By October, it got diminished even more. By November, they wound up putting the deal together, but it was a mere shadow of its former self.
Wow.
Because the angel investors' resources had diminished.
Right.
And so that is one of the cases, things you have to deal with, that you're dealing with when you have angels. Their particular financial circumstances could affect your circumstances. But Joan, one thing I have to point out, Joan, a lot of people are starting up a small business right now. They got laid off 3 weeks ago, and now they're starting a business, and they're saying, okay, I need funding, I need a grant, I need a loan, I need an angel, I need an investor.
Right.
Well, guess what, folks? The chances are not very good that you're a prospect for any of those things.
Yeah.
Number one, Grant died. There are no grants.
Yeah.
Number two, banks aren't going to loan startups any business, any money, unless you've got enough assets of your own to collateralize it. And even then, in 2009, that's not that likely for startups. And number three, angels are looking for businesses that are going to take off. And one day, they're like any investor. They want to get an exit one day.
Right.
Nobody buys a stock if they don't expect to sell it one day.
Yep.
Nobody's going to invest in a business if they don't expect to get quadruple their money back one day. They don't want to invest in somebody who's just going to be what's called a lifestyle business, meaning the person just wants to stay in it and make a living in that business.
Yeah.
So don't kid yourself about whether you're a prospect. You may be, but you may not be. There is that situation. Joan, good job, by the way, on this, uncovering that one as well this week. Patent law, I just talked to one of our patent attorneys, Dave Dossi, earlier this week, and I just asked him the question, are things getting better at the patent office? Are things happening there where it's improving? And he said no. But you guys have a little bit of a different spin on it.
No, meaning what?
Meaning it's still slow. It's still taking too long.
Well, what's interesting, though, is I actually know someone who works at the patent office, and they said the patent applications are slowing up just because of the economy.
Right.
I'm wondering if the backlog will ease at some point in the near future.
Maybe, yeah, by attrition. But
yeah.
But what do you guys point out, though? You guys saying that there is one thing that they're doing that may speed things up. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Oh, right. Well, there's been a patent law overhaul in Congress in the works. I think it's been around for quite a while. It's been pending for quite a while. But we think that it's going to be passed within a year.
And that's going to be to make one of the things is going to be to make frivolous challenges less likely, right?
Exactly.
That's one of the things. So that somebody wants to challenge it, if it's frivolous, they're going to pay less attention to those, and that will move things along a lot quicker. And that's important. That'll be a really good change for in that system. Quick break. 10 till. Right back. Stay with us. Afternoon. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about the most recent Kiplinger Editor. Joan, one of the things that Mr. Obama did when he went to, you guys report this week, when he went to Europe, was that he talked about arms and arms control issues with Russia. And you guys reported that in your little part here about his trip to Europe. And the thing that I'm concerned about, Joan, is that Russia has continued to prove that they're not trustworthy.
Right.
And anybody that thinks they can trust Putin, to start with, anybody with a name like that, I wouldn't trust him. But
well, I don't agree with you all the time, but I sure agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, George Bush. I was so disappointed when George Bush said
he looked into his soul.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Yeah. You know, if you looked into Putin's soul, you'd get a chill up your spine.
Oh,
most
sure
people would.
Yeah.
But I mean, this guy's got KGB written all over him.
Of course he has no.
I don't think he has a soul, and I hate to make ad hominem remarks about, but this guy's not trustworthy. The Russians aren't trustworthy, and I just hope Mr. Obama will do a little history research and go back and see how Jimmy Carter got hosed by the Russians, the Soviets actually in those days. He got hosed by the Soviets with the SALT treaty, the SALT II treaties.
Right.
He thought he could trust them, and guess what? We found out that they couldn't be trusted. While they were negotiating with him, while they were telling him they were going to play nice, they were doing the opposite, Joan.
Well, I don't know how well Obama is going to do, but I will tell you one thing, just from everything I've read. He is a student of history.
Yep.
And if that serves him well, he will not make the same mistakes. But
if he will negotiate with them the way they're negotiating and be canny and really know what the score is, not be naive the way Carter was, and as it turns out, for a while at least, the way Bush was. You know, you can't be naive with these people. The Russians are not genuine people. I mean, I don't mean the Russians. I mean the government, not the people, but the government. These people are not. They're not genuine. They're not gonna play fair. And we can't, especially with regard to arms. We're not. We have different goals. And we Americans and the Russian government, and so that's one thing that I'm concerned. Because see, I heard Medvedev, prime minister, I guess, or whatever, president maybe, I've forgotten. I guess he's a president. I heard him called Obama his new comrade. You know that. I hope that maybe Mr. Obama is tricking them this time instead of the other way around.
Yeah,
Jonas. Let's move down and talk about the media. The newspapers are having a hard time, Joan.
Oh gosh, they're jumping like flies, really.
And Joan, it's not just because of the economy. They were already in trouble.
Well, I think the economy kind of has pushed newspapers over the edge, but
yeah.
This has been a problem that's been coming for such a long time. And what's pushing them over the edge now is because of the down economy, the advertising that they were counting on to keep them afloat, it just isn't there.
Yep. And it's not going to come back, Joan.
And it's not going to, no. If you believe that it's going to come back as soon as the economy turns around, you're sadly mistaken, I think.
There are three things that are going on, Joan. Technology.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Twitter a minute ago.
Right.
Social media, which is, we including that.
I hope
the online technologies.
That Twitter thing when we're off the air.
And also, Joan, the generational waves.
Right.
You know, we used to joke a little bit about my kids don't read papers. They don't, you know, they're of the age that the young people don't read papers. They don't watch television news. They don't do things the way you and I do. They get their information in other places. Well, guess what? They're no longer 18. They're 35 now.
That's right.
And they're a larger part of, and there's a whole other generation coming behind them that are like this. And so
they're 35. That would make me 40.
Some of them are exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, and I was once myself. But anyway, the media world is changing. It's really changing a lot. I'm actually writing. I've written a white paper on this recently about what's causing all this and where this is going. And there's an intersection coming, Joan, out there in the future where there's going to be a convergence of the technology and the generational waves and the communities that are being built in social media areas that is going to completely change everything.
And I think, Joan?
I think the Kiplinger letter will survive that.
Well, I sure hope so.
Because you're like Twitter.
Yes,
I'm telling you. You should tell you need to tell Knight what I said about this, Joan.
I will.
Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks.
We'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today to be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.